This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we've got lots of great music for you today, with some amazing old-time fiddling on the way in the second half of the show. Backstep members Nick McMillan and Buck Buckner are here, and we've got great theater and film to boot. But first, we dive headfirst into the art of the song.
Oh, Father Time, why you changing everything? I'm looking for the light, but it never stays the same.
Songwriter sessions are typically a chance to be a fly on the wall as musicians perform their original songs and then share their thoughts, feelings, and opinions on the fine art of songwriting. This Saturday night, March 29th, those four walls will be the Community Arts Cafe. Winston-Salem Songwriter Sessions 2014 kicks off at 8 o'clock with performances by local artists Tyler Nail, Jonathan Luce, and Colin Allured. I'll be emceeing the event, and after each song, I'll ask a selfish question or two of the artist, sort of like a live version of Triad Arts Weekend. But on Saturday, I'll be inviting audience members to chime in with questions or comments of their own. For a little sample of what you can expect, last week, Tyler and Jonathan dropped by to speak with me about songwriting. Tyler's a songwriter, singer, guitarist, drummer, and producer from Winston-Salem. Jonathan is a singer-songwriter, guitarist, recording engineer, and producer from Advance. The two artists have partnered on several projects, including their homage to the late Levon Helm. That recording is titled When I Go Away. We'll be sampling from their new music throughout the interview.
Well, I don't suppose that I have a more thorough understanding of songwriting than anybody that's pursuing songwriting, but I write songs all the time. That's what I do. That's what I've done for the last 7 years or so. And the other things, the drumming and the guitar playing and singing and producing, all that gives me a pretty thorough examination of the songs. I play guitar, and that's my melodic instrument. And then the drums gives me a sense of rhythm and stuff. So I have those two things covered, but without, like, I don't, like, get lost in, like, composition and stuff. I don't get the play piano a lot or any of these instruments that, like, would really require some, like, vast, like, collaboration with the guitar to fit in. I kind of use the guitar as the composition instrument, and I use the drums and my knowledge of the drums as the rhythmic side of things.
Okay, Jonathan, you have a wide-ranging background as well as both singer, really accomplished guitarist as well, and doing some recording and production work. If you're writing a tune, are you ever thinking in terms of production elements you'd bring to it early on and therefore you would write it a certain way, or how does it seep into your...
Sometimes it's something that you consider a little more frequently. You know what the end product might be. You're thinking about, okay, I want this song to be a little more rhythmically driven with drums or something like that. Other times it's not. Other times it's just you and a guitar, or it starts with a melody or a lyric, and it's real simple, and it's not really focused on the end product as a piece of production with a lot of different musicians. So it's kind of a combination of both.
You know, you guys collaborate frequently, and then you also front your own band. Mm-hmm. That shift of roles and what that means just musically for you, when you're up front and center versus playing primarily guitar stuff.
Me and Tyler met, I don't know, a while ago. We've been playing together for about 3 years, and we really hit it off in terms of kind of on the same page with writing and creativity and everything and the way we approached music and what we liked about it. And being the guitarist in the band gave me an opportunity to explore guitar playing and be better at it. And I play exclusively acoustic guitar. And as the lead guitar player, that opened me up to a realm of bluegrass, flat picking styles, and things like that that I hadn't really explored before. It was exciting to build up some chops in that area and get better at playing guitar. And then, you know, I just really, you know, like his music. And like I said, we click real well. So it's good doing that. Me doing my own project, it's my songwriting. So it's lyrically driven. It's the lyrics that I come up with. It's the poetry that I can investigate and channel of my own way. So that's the difference. I'm a little more technically musician-oriented with Tyler's project. And then, of course, fronting my own is, you know, I'm a singer and I write the songs. So
the song.
And he plays the drums.
That's right. And you're from just the collaborative nature of your all's work together. How have you guys grown musically together over those 3 years? And that's a big chunk of time to be jamming together.
We're aware of each other's strengths and where we're comfortable and what we can ask of one another. And it's to the point where it's not really a consideration. It just works. Also, I think being around each other separate from music and getting to know each other personally more along the lines and having more conversations. We obviously talk about songwriting, but we talk about all kinds of different things. And I think that bleeds in to what comes out of the music, probably specifically songwriting, you know, what we kind of talk about and internalize and the way we approach songwriting, if there are overlaps or if there are wide disparities, I think.
Yeah, I think all that is spot on. And also, I think something that John and I have developed over the last few years is this trust in leading bands, which sounds strange in the setting we're talking about, because more commonly I'm leading a three-piece band, and so it doesn't take as much leading as it used to. But we used to have a regular gig with like a six-piece band, and John's band is often bigger than mine. And a cool thing in our relationship that we've developed is taking the role as like number one and two of band leading, which is cool because when I'm singing and when I'm like unable to, when I'm in a position when we're performing, when I'm not able to lead the band, then it becomes John's job. And John is able to pick up that job because he's so familiar with my vision and like what I'm going for. And then I'm able to do the same in his band where we just kind of shift these roles of making sure that what we're trying to, you know, capture is coming across the right way. That's something that's pretty cool, I think.
We live on the county line between the corn and the Georgia pine. We'll spend our money and save our time. Look out on the county line.
I've been curious about these Red House songwriter sessions. Talk about the format of these sessions and how folks are selected or become involved in it.
Well, John and I have been talking about doing this for a while. John and I live in the Red House, which is a red house that we live in. We, for like the first year, we talked about the Red House sessions and what we thought they would be if we ever started doing them. And we wanted to make it revolve around songwriting. We wanted to include songwriters from out of town and stuff, but we didn't know exactly what we wanted to do. So finally, we just landed on this format where we wanted to do it in two parts. We have songwriters come over to our house. We have a beverage of their liking, might be coffee or whiskey or beer or something. And we listen to a record, and the record kind of references them in some way. It's like maybe a record they like or one that reminds us of the songwriter. And we talk to the songwriter for, you know, a little while, get a good discussion going about songwriting and the way it works for them, the way they understand it. And then part two comes around and we do a performance, and they perform, and it might be them on their own, or it might be they might let us play with them, but it's all just filmed and it's right there in our house. It's real comfortable. It's all just around music, but around conversation and around, you know, good atmosphere. That's kind of what it's about.
Sounds good. Now, let's get into Winston-Salem's songwriter session. We've got the benefit of hindsight. We can look back on last year's session,
second
which
annual.
Was a lot of fun. Yeah, the second annual. Congratulations.
Yeah.
describe the scene from last year's show. I mean, I'll let you guys do that. I happen to, in full disclosure, I hosted last year's songwriter session in Winston, and kind of looking back on it, what was it like there?
I thought it was the most appropriate setting that we could have expected for it. Like when you think of a songwriter discussion thing, an event where songwriters are talking about songwriting, I thought the CAC was a really good spot for us to do that. I thought the mood of the evening was perfect for it. It was the perfect setting. I mean, it was a great setting. And I think that we, the songwriters, it was myself and John and Kike Rodriguez Pastor and Andrew Lazar. And I think we were all surprised at how much sincerity just the setting brought out of us, and it made us really feel excited about talking about the songs and where they came from and stuff. And it made us feel like just the setting itself and the audience that night made us feel like it was easy to draw that stuff out of us, because it felt like the audience really was invested in knowing it.
They were listening.
Very much engaged. And you think of there's a Q&A format to this, you know. Initially coming into that, I thought, okay, the Q&A, how's that going to go? Does anybody have any questions? It's going to be like after a lecture and no one raises their hand.
Listen for the crickets.
Yeah, right. People came right up, like hands were being raised and good questions were being asked that made us think and laugh and talk amongst one another. And, you know, you did a great job hosting it and kind of facilitating that discussion. That was something that was really impressive, I thought, the audience engagement.
Very enjoyable all the way around. And as you mentioned, CAC, should remind listeners, CAC, Community Arts Cafe, downtown on 4th Street. And neat venue in terms of the sound because of the clarity. You can actually hear the music. You don't need to crank up the volume. It gets back to the back rows. And I appreciate that as a listener. I'm into hearing the sound and the different instruments and the voicings. And if you're a music lover, you'll like it there. So what are you going to tweak from last year, though? What sorts of things do you want to change up, keep new, keep fresh?
Well, one thing we changed was rather than have four songwriters, we're going to have three. It's going to be myself, Jonathan, and Colin Allured. We feel like this will give us the opportunity to play through more songs and offer more insight to the songs than having four and it being limited in any way.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's probably one of the more obvious changes.
Tell me a little bit about Colin. I guess I met him first at Arts for Life, doing some amazing work with young patients at Brenner's and fighting through horrible illnesses and filling their life with song, but a very talented songwriter.
He is, and he is still doing that, and he also plays in the Breathing Room. He is just very accomplished. I think he comes from a bit of a classically trained background, plays all types of instruments, phenomenal guitar player, phenomenal songwriter, also plays different African instruments and everything, and is very just connected to music and the way it's able to affect people's lives, and which, you know, speaks to what he's doing over there, Arts for Life.
Dream I've been standing by. What of this is left behind? The fool inside of me.
What makes this this songwriter event unique from all the other like music events going on in Winston-Salem, from your standpoint, Tyler?
What's, you know, usually the case when you go see music is there's a bit of a barrier between the stage and the floor. There's this unspoken like bit of privacy that a band sometimes requires to perform, and there's usually just a space between the audience and the band for the band to strictly perform, for them to put out what they're doing and an audience react to it, whether it be dance or whether it be just listen and applaud. But in this case, we're doing away with that with events like this, which this isn't the only event of its kind, but with this event and events like this, that idea is done away with, and we invite the audience to not only like participate in some kind of physical way like dancing, but when they hear these songs and they find a curiosity about them or they have their own experience with them and react to them, we're inviting them to indulge themselves in that and to ask us what that is and to, you know, investigate their curiosity and do it directly to the songwriter, you know, ask us what's going on. That's what I think is so cool about it, because it instead it becomes this thing where the audience and the songwriters are having a very similar, if not the same, experience with each other in everything.
I would say, along with that being that the fourth wall is broken down and everybody is, we encourage the audience to participate. I think because we're talking about creativity and creating lines, what's interesting is that the audience is invited to see how that relates to themselves, whether or not they're a songwriter or a writer of any kind, how the creative process relates to them. And I think we got some of that last year from the audience. That's where those questions come from. Like, oh, I understand certain aspects of what they're talking about in terms of creativity. So
you can take it where you live. I mean, you can take it at any level. And I think that whole idea of breaking down barriers is a good one, in that particularly in this country, not so much in elsewhere around the world where everyone's encouraged to make music and bang on a guitar or whatever. Mm-hmm. Here, there's this mentality where you either, oh, you're the gifted guy who's a musician type, or oh, no, I never had that, so I can't even get anywhere. It makes it so unapproachable in a way, but you all are doing a good job of kind of bridging that gap, I think, with this sort of format. Jonathan Luce, Tyler Nail, thanks so much for spending some time with me today.
Thank you, David.
Then you came along and you brought the sun with you.
singer-songwriters Tyler Nail and Jonathan Luce. We've been sampling from their music, and you'll find links to more at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. In February of 2014, Tyler and Jonathan, together with local singer-songwriter Kike Rodriguez Pastor, began the Red House Songwriter Sessions. You'll find links to YouTube video of the Red House Songwriter Sessions on our website, WFDD.org. Meanwhile, Tyler and Jonathan's annual Winston-Salem Songwriter Sessions is this Saturday night, March 29th at 8 o'clock in the Community Arts Cafe in downtown Winston-Salem. This year, joining Tyler and Jonathan on Saturday will be singer-songwriter Colin Allured, and all three artists will perform original songs of their own and then take questions from the audience about songwriting and whatever else comes to mind. I'll be moderating the event, and I look forward to hearing your questions, too. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we're going to take a little break from the action right now. When we return, just about 60 seconds from now, it'll be a play within a play that's actually a powerful historical drama about the power of theater. Our Country's Good, with Wake Forest University Theater Department's Sharon Andrews and four thoughtful young actors who may just surprise you next when Triad Arts Weekend continues.